Okay. I think everybody's here. So we can start a short session or some instructions. I hope you have slept well, all of you, and have a nice breakfast. And funny enough, I have to give you a little warning now in the beginning. If some of you go for a walk around the Jhana Grove, as far as I know, unless it's not removed, there is actually a big black cow in the forest over there. It's a cow which basically ran away from a slaughterhouse and ran to the monks, to the kind monks. And we have been trying to replace it, but right now it's, let's see where we are, it's in that direction, in the forest there. So if you see a big, and it's big, it's a big black cow. It's kind of harmless and kind, but you might find it kind of scary. So if you go for a walk and you see a black cow, it's okay. Just relax. So you know. But else, we don't know anything. There's a lot of paths and roads around the monastery you can walk for exercise and combine for exercise and just enjoying nature and maybe do some walking meditation. So what I will try to do is today is focusing a little bit on the practical side. Yesterday I talked about the big perspective, what we're trying to do here. Today is how you do it, because there is like an outer form which you can use to make sure that your mind calms down. Yesterday I used this tree, I focused on three similes, a simile of water, a swimming pool, and a simile of a leaf on a tree, and a simile of horses in a field. And that is like your mind. And the way for you to end up with a mind which is peaceful, which has clarity and energy, harmony, joy, and a smile, is to calm down everything inside. And that's why we arrange 9 days retreats, so we can teach this and give people the opportunity to play around and find this themselves based on experience. So basically stopping playing around in water, stop blowing wind on the leaf, and just look at all those horses who are just playing around in the field. So what we want, what we try to teach, is to make people be observers, knowers, people who are aware and mindful, instead of doing, creating, making, changing what's going on around you and inside of you. So this is a place where you are encouraged to be restrained and not being active. It's a place where we make sure that you don't have any responsibilities and you really can focus and let go. And I also mentioned this sutta from this text, old text from the Buddha, about this turtle who drew in all his limbs and his neck into its shell as a way to calm down things around you. When you come to a retreat, it takes a few days before your mind calms down. It's not done in 1 hour, and it's not done in 1 day. Most likely. Depends on how your mind are when you come in here. If you are living a very busy life and doing a lot of things, work and responsibilities, then you might have a very active mind. And the more active mind you have, the longer time it takes to calm down.
It's just like water. If there are a lot of waves on the water, it takes more time to calm down. But if you're living a quite peaceful life before you came to this retreat, then your mind doesn't have that many waves inside, and then it takes a shorter time to calm down, for peace to arise, for joy to arise. And while your mind is calming down, we have this outer form of meditation, which is, it's basically to give you a little bit to chew on while your mind calms down. Whatever you look at in life expands, and what you don't look at will fade away. So what we try to do is to give people something to focus on, so that can be a bigger part of your mind. And everything else which you have in your mind can kind of kindly just fade away. So we have what we call a meditation object, whether it's the breath, or it's like the touch of your feet when you're walking, that is there for you to focus on. And as you focus on that one simple object over a long time, many hours, when you go on a long, many days retreat, like a 9 days retreat, you do this for many days, not just 2 or 3 days. And if we do that successfully and kindly, and you try to let go of everything around you, or rather not involving in things around you or inside of you, just let things be, whatever it is, and you try as much as you can, as many hours as you can, every day, to simply put your awareness on a simple object instead of everything else, instead of what's going on around you, instead of your thinking and your emotions and your fears and your ill will and your restlessness and I don't know what else there is you have inside. So we give you some outer forms, some meditation methods, which is a place where you can rest your awareness. It is actually that simple. And that, the result of this is that everything else will calm down. It is a bit like watching TV or a movie. If you're back home in your living room and you get this new movie from Hollywood or whatever you like to watch, and you turn on your TV and you start focusing on this movie, maybe within 15 minutes, basically everything is around you. It just faded away from you. So if somebody is walking past you or behind you, it doesn't kind of register on your mind because all your awareness is on this movie you watch on this TV screen. And maybe within an hour or so, the only thing you see is this square box with some movements going on. And the cars passing outside, or the airplane which is passing above you, they don't register in your mind. You don't kind of hear them. There's no awareness of them. Because you have managed to focus in on one object. And then everything else around you slowly, kindly fades away. And it is the same way when we do meditation. We try to put our awareness of something which is more simple than watching a movie. Just your breath or some simple feelings. And we try as well as we can over a long time to stay with that simple object. And in the long run, we would have the same effect as watching the movie, that everything else fades away. So whatever busyness there is inside of you, whatever thoughts, emotions that will over time, from hour to hour to hour, it will grow less and smaller. And you're getting closer and closer to what we call peace and delight, mental delight instead of bodily delight. We are really good at doing things in the world to create bodily delight, like food and watching something and hearing beautiful music. What we try to create here is mental, pure mental delight. And it comes from a peaceful mind, a silent mind, an inspired mind, a kind mind. And for this to happen, step one is to be able to calm down everything else, all these, you can call them afflictions or activities. Some of them are afflictions, like ill will and fear. Some of them maybe not affliction, they're just thinking and analysis. But whatever there is, all of that can slowly, 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 slowly fade away and be a smaller part of your mind. That's what we try to do. But it takes quite many hours, and you have to try to be dedicated to really doing this and try to do it continuously. Because if you do this for half an hour and then you do something else for 2 hours and then you do half an hour again, you basically lose traction, you lose momentum. So if it's possible, if you manage to try to do this training of being mindful of something simple, a simple object, try to do that continuously as much as you can during the whole day, today. There's one thing I wish to mention, which always should be in the back of your mind when you do these meditation practices, which will make the outer form of meditation, either breath or walking or kindness meditation, which always will make it easier. And that is to have what we call the right intention, which is basically having a mind which is intended on kindness and letting go. If you can just try to be kind, whatever happened, if you can have this kindness in your mind, kindness to yourself, kindness to the other ones on this retreat, kindness to those relatives and families and friends you have, kindness to your thoughts, that will help the meditation. If that can be the basis of your meditation, always being kind, whatever happens. Kind to yourself, kind to your body, kind to your thoughts, kind to your emotions, kind to your neighbors. That really helps. Because it's so easy to fall into ill will. We don't want to do this. But if we can be kind, always try to put effort into being kind and kind and kind and try to let go. While we do sitting meditation and walking meditation, then it will be easier. So I just wanted to mention that. So a little bit of practical. I know that, as I asked yesterday, most of you have actually been to some kind of retreat before. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but there's a few of you who have not been to that many retreats or are completely beginners. And we have some guests here today as well. So I just want to say a few words about walking meditation and sitting meditation and lying meditation. And this is not any kind of rocket science. This is very simple. The whole outer form, this meditation we do, is really simple. So walking meditation, like we have a walking meditation hall on that side and inside there and the back there, they're made just for doing walking meditation. And there's even carpets, red carpets,
rolled out for you, so you can walk back and forth on a nice soft carpet. So please use those rooms, or you can go outside. You can just define yourself an area outside, either in the forest or just between the buildings here, anywhere really, where you feel like it's a nice place to be. And basically, you just define two points, A and B. And in here, it's just each end of a walking path. And you go back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And try to walk just in a normal, relaxed, like feel-good speed. Don't go too slow, don't go too fast, whatever you find natural. And this will change, because when you're restless, you'll probably walk faster. But when you have, if you don't go on a longer retreat, your mind really calms down, you will naturally walk slower. But don't try, don't force yourself to either walk slow or fast. Just be yourself. Be whatever your body is in a state now. Just allow it to be the way it is. Keep your eyes open, and there's most people, they end up clasping their hands in front instead of just walking like you do in the street. You clasp your hands either in front of you or on the back of you, whatever you like, basically. So a little bit of restraint in your hands. And we normally advise people just to look just a couple of meters in front of you, and look at the floor. As you go back and forth, just look a couple of meters in front of you. Don't look to the sides. Don't look at the other people. Just kindly look in front of you a couple of meters, and just go back and forth. In that way, you create minimum disturbances and minimal sensory kind of impingements or input, so your mind can calm down quicker. A good point is that as soon as you turn around, when you go the path and you turn around, that's a good point to re-establish mindfulness. And then you walk over to the other side again, and you have to turn around. That's a good point to re-establish your mindfulness. Because what you will find, especially in the beginning of a retreat, is that even though you try to walk from the beginning to the end, and just feel your feet, which is your object of meditation, and just to feel the soles of your feet touching the floor, what you will find that is your mind will go to the other side of the planet within 5 seconds. It'll go back to your vacation you did in Hawaii or I don't know where, and your mind will go back to your family and some fantasies, while you're trying just to stay with your body and trying to stay here in present, not in the past and not in the future. So every time you come to the end of a walking path and you have to turn around, that's a perfect time to reestablish and say, okay, I want to be here with this body, and kind of cut. If there's a thought or if there's emotions or some fantasies arising, when you come to the end of walking path and you turn around, just cut everything and put your attention back on your feet. Then you go to the other side, you turn around, and if your mind had been going somewhere else again, you cut. And then put your attention back on your feet, and you go back and forth and back and forth. I have one good advice, based on a lot of experience myself over many years. It's very easy to get into ill will about your own mind. And it's again because you're trying. You're searching for happiness instead of letting go. What we often end up doing is that we're putting force to
do you force our mind back to the meditation object? And there is a little bit of unwholesomeness in it. It can be ill will. So you really have to try to be kind to yourself and try to be positive over many hours to kindly put your mind back on this object you're trying to stick with. Don't develop ill will because your mind doesn't want to in the beginning. If you're coming in here with a very active mind, it doesn't want to be restrained. It just wants to think whatever it wants to do. It wants to go into fantasies and contemplations. And you try to do some walking meditation, and you have to kindly put it back to your body. Kindly put it back to the feelings of touching the floor. So please, again, have this right intention of kindness. Kindness, kindness, kindness. And don't be cruel, don't have ill will towards yourself. It's really important. Else you just go back and forth and back and forth. And you get more and more angry because your mind doesn't do what you want it to do. You have to be kind and very patient with your own mind. Because you will soon find it doesn't want to listen. What you have to do is to have patience and just know out of experience that if you can let go and if you begin kind and do this long enough, your mind will calm down. There is we actually have a small, short text going all the way back to the Buddha where he says, what's the benefits of doing walking meditation? And he listed five. I can read it out quickly. There are these five benefits of walking meditation. What five? And the first one is very practical. One becomes capable of journeys. Basically, you're exercising. You're walking. So if you walk a lot, it kind of builds up the muscles and strength in your body. At the time of the Buddha, they didn't have cars or kind of airplanes. They had to walk from monastery to monastery, from place to place. So for them, it was a good idea to do walking meditation because it was both a meditation and developing a means to move around. The second is one become capable of striving. Basically, you learn how to do this. Because it looks easy, and it is easy in theory to do this, but you will find that within a short time, you will start to kind of develop some ill will and some negativity, and you don't want to do it. So you will develop this patience to be able to stick with it and do it and add in a lot of kindness so you can do this for many hours. And one becomes healthy. Basically, you're exercising. And we all know that. All the doctors are telling this all the time. If you exercise, keep your body fit, you'll create health. And the Buddha said that 2,500 years ago. He also said, what one has eaten, drunk, consumed, and tasted is properly digested. So by doing walking meditation, you digest better what you have eaten. And then lastly, the peace or the meditation which you gain through walking meditation lasts a long time. So if you are able to calm down your mind using walking meditation, the peace which arises in your mind are more long-lasting. It's more, it's kind of deeper and more solid. I think solid is the best for me. You get a peace of mind which is really solid. It's not weak, so you are able to handle more disturbances around you without losing it. compared to doing sitting meditation, it might be easier to get meditation, but it's kind of weaker. It's easier to lose it if you have distractions around you. But what do you get from walking meditation? If you really can stick with that, you create a type of peace inside of you which is really strong. Have a lot of resilience towards noise around you and inside. So these are the five benefits of walking meditation. I can repeat quickly. You became capable of walking, just exercising, and you learn how to strive, developing patience. You develop your health, bodily health, and your digestion is better. And what you create, the peace, the meditation you create is more solid. It lasts a longer time. Walking meditation is a good variation from sitting meditation. When you sit down and do sitting meditation, after a while your body starts to ache a little bit and it's uncomfortable and your back is kind of full of some kind of achy, then it's really nice to go to walking meditation. When you do walking meditation, you can move your body so all those aches and pains because you're sitting still will disappear. So it's a reason why this schedule we have is just going back and forth between sitting meditation, walking meditation, sitting meditation, walking meditation. Because basically you will not be able to sit unless you have really, really long, many years of experience. I don't think you will be able to just sit a whole retreat, especially if it's a 9-day retreat. So it's a very good alternative to sitting meditation. Walking meditation is also good when you're tired. So it's a brilliant thing to do in the mornings. If you do sitting meditation or lying meditation in the morning, it's so easy to fall asleep. But if you do walking meditation, you don't kind of fall asleep. You have to be. you do walking meditation. You can keep that sleepiness away. That's walking meditation. I really recommend walking meditation. You have to do it a bit and learn how to do it so you don't get, tired of it. You just have to find your way yourself. That's walking meditation. Then a little bit about sitting meditation or lying meditation. Sitting meditation and lying meditation is more or less the same. It's just that if you do lying meditation, if you go back to your room and you lie down in your bed, the difference is that you will probably not have, or the bodily discomfort will be absolutely minimal. If you sit, even though if you sit in a chair or you sit on the floor, after a while there's a little bit of ache coming up here and a little bit of ache coming on your knees and whatever, your neck. But if you go back to your bed and lie, you go back to your room and lie in your bed, it's max bodily comfort. But you cannot do that if you're tired. You will just end up sleeping. But midday and maybe late afternoons and evenings, lying meditation can be a good opportunity. I have heard many senior monks in this tradition saying that lying meditation is the type of meditation which is easiest, which easiest will create deep meditation. But now we're talking really deep meditation, which takes, for most people, take many years to develop. Basically because bodily comforts isn't there, so it's easy to let go of things around you. But if you do sitting meditation and you have backache and you have knee ache, all these disturbances, comes into your mind and create distractions and take you away from your meditation object, take you away from letting go so peace can arise. But I really recommend to play with both sitting meditation and lying meditation. But if you end up just sleeping, well, then you do walking, do sitting. So what I say now will say about sitting meditation, and sitting meditation also applies to lying meditation. What I will say is a little bit about breath meditation. Breath meditation is in this kind of Buddhist tradition, there's normally two types of meditation which is taught to most people. And it is breath meditation and this loving kindness meditation. And I think tomorrow morning I will talk a little bit about loving kindness meditation. Today I will just go quickly into what breath meditation is. And again, I know many of you have heard this before, so I'm not going to say too much. Breath meditation is sitting down, lying down somewhere, closing your eyes, putting your body into a comfortable position, as comfortable as possible, whatever it is, chair, on the floor, leaning up against the wall, whatever. Find a position of your body which is comfortable. Every part of your body can have comfort. You close your eyes and start to put your awareness on what's going on inside of you. And with a lot of kindness and a lot of acceptance and trying to let go, try to see with your inner eye, be aware of your breathing, in and out, in and out, in and out. It's basically that simple. Just stay with your breath. But you will know, and many of you know this really well, you try to do breathing meditation, you try to put your awareness on this breathing, but then your mind goes somewhere else and you follow those thoughts and those emotions. And you all the time have to take kindly your awareness back to the breath and try to stay with the breath as it goes in and out, in and out, in and out, and in and out. It is that simple, and it's supposed to be that simple. Because the simpler your meditation form is, the less afflictions or movements you create inside your mind while you want it to calm down. So the simpler your meditation is, the less disturbances and the quicker your mind will fall into peace all by itself. If your mind is very active, one trick you can do is to make this breath meditation bigger. So if you have problem being aware of the breath, you can add something to this. You can make the breath more entertaining for your mind, so it's easier to stay with it. Just as you, when you watch a movie which is very funny or very entertaining, it's easy to stay with it. And you get just sucked into this movie and you stay there 1.5 hours and then the movie's over. No problem to have your attention there. But if the movie is badly made and it's boring and it's whatever, you see right away that you just turn it off. Or you start reading a newspaper or something while the movie is going in front of you. So if you can you can do something to make your breath a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more interesting, a little bit more tasty for your mind. And then it's easier to stay with the breath over a long time. And to do that, there is a few options. One of the options, which sounds boring, but for some of you, it can be a good idea, and that is to add counting. So you sit down, you close your eyes, and every time you breathe in, it's like one. And out, and then in again, two. So you add some kind of mathematical kind of intellectual activity with the breath to make it a little bit bigger and maybe more entertaining. I don't know about counting as entertaining, but it can be something which makes the object a little bit bigger and then it's easier to stay with it. So you can count 1, 2, 3, up to 10 and then go back again. Start on 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. Every in breath, you add one more. And we come to 10, you go back to 1. Or you can count up to 10 and then back. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. 9, 8. And that is up to yourself. There's no one fixed way of doing this. You play around yourself. You find what is kind of your way of doing this. Another way is what we call visualizations. And that is that if you have a visual personality, at least, some people easily can create some inner images of things. And you can create some kind of visualization somehow, which you connect to the breathing. I can give you one example from my life, what I did in the past. When I was a young monk and I was struggling with keeping with the breath, I had this idea of visualizing like a stage. And then on that stage, there were like 10 lights. Just brilliant lights, just like one of those spotlights or something like that. Just lined up, 10 of them. And they were kind of either turning on and off, or they were going up and down. So as I was breathing in, I could see this light bulb just coming on and moving a bit up and down. And then this next light, which I can imagine just going up and down as I was breathing in and out. So I added some kind of visualization to the breath to make it bigger, make it more entertaining. And you can just make up something yourself. Whatever background you have, whatever you think is fun, whatever you think is inspiring, you can make a little fantasy which makes the breath a bigger object and makes it more entertaining and easy to stay with as you stay with the breath. And as your mind gets calmer and calmer, you can let it go. So maybe in the beginning, you follow the breath, you have some visualizations and even counting. And as your mind calms down, you simplify your meditation object. And in the end, you just stay with the breath. So play around and find a way to make your mind stay with your breath. And that's the core. Sit down, close your eyes, create bodily comfort. Somehow find a nice way to stay with your breath as long as you can, as it goes in and out and in and out. And what you will find is that the breath itself will calm down. As your mind calms down, your breath will calm down. And when you sit, after a while, there will be some bodily discomfort, your knees or your back or your neck. Then kindly rise up and do some walking meditation. Go back and forth, and then afterwards, when your body is kind of more happy again, have exercised a little bit, sit down again. Close your eyes, find some comfortable place to sit, either here or outside or in your room, anywhere. Close your eyes and see where you can stay with the breath. Do not, and again, as I said yesterday, don't use force, don't use your will, don't be hard, Don't create this, but be really, really, really kind to yourself. Be really kind to your body. Be really kind to your mind. Be really kind to everything which is going on inside. And a lot of patience, because this takes many hours normally, and sometimes many days. And that's why we have longer retreats. We have 9 days retreats, not only a weekend. So you get more time to let your mind calm down. So peace arise, joy arise, harmony arise, clarity arise. A lot of beautiful states of mind can arise. So just to sum this up, please, I know I can never ever say this enough a number of times, and it's really important. Please, please be kind in your meditation. Be kind to your mind, be kind to yourself, be kind to your body. Try to let go. Do some walking meditation, do some sitting meditation, do some lying meditation. Play around, allow yourself to play around. Allow yourself to find a way of doing this which is like personalized, customized for yourself. I've done that with a lot of success. I've listened to many teachers saying various things. I'm trying this, I'm trying that. And I ended up finding a way which was just right for me. And it worked really well. Okay? That's what I planned to say this morning. Any questions? Before we... let's see, where are we now? Yeah. So, just information. 3 o'clock. Those who wants to have a short chat with me can go do that. There is there's 1.5 hours available, and there are slots, which I think is 10 minutes each. So if those who wants to come and have a chat, please do. But also please respect 10 minutes, because there will people will be waiting for the next slot. And also just to repeat, please, if you don't want to ask me the question, write it on a piece of paper and put it in this basket out there. And that can be made tonight to make a little kind of Q&A event. So please, please ask questions for tonight. Okay? Good. Happy meditation and happy walking meditation and happy sitting meditation. So.